Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is an encore presentation. We hope you enjoy the show.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a family learns the hard way, when a mysterious voice calls your name, don't answer back. I don't see the issue with it.
You don't?
Might as well, just see what happens.
Okay.
Just see what happens. Also, a secondhand piece of furniture could be the reason for the destruction of its new home. Also, remodeling just became that much more stressful for a large family. And a listener describes the girl from the pool. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing lovely. Yourself?
I'm good.
You have the scurvy?
No, I don't. I think it's just like an allergy kind of thing going on.
So not the scurvy, the rabies.
I don't know why my throat is kind of scratchy. Mm-hmm. So...
the foaming around the mouth.
Kind of scratchy sound today.
What about the foaming?
Yeah, I don't know why that's going on.
That's just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And I saw it on The Walking Dead the other day. Mm-hmm. That was kind of odd. I saw it on a rabies video too. Run the rabies awareness video. Do you remember the rabies awareness class at school where they sit you down and they...
Never had that.
They talk to you about rabies.
I think that's just for you northern people.
They decided not to do the sex ed. Then they replaced it with the rabies ed. And
that makes sense.
It's odd. It's awkward. But hey, my hometown is the only place someone survived getting rabies to the level that they did. And turned out okay.
Good thing you had that rabies class.
It's not like on the sign as you drive into the city. You know, like, home of this.
Did you really have a rabies class?
I completely bullshitted that.
See, I hate it when you do that. God.
Oh, I. That's been a long time since I've actually had you questioned one of my...
It has.
My tales.
Yeah.
Tales of the rabies. No, but I could see that happening. I mean, I did see quite a few rabid animals as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's good to be aware, rabies awareness. The whole Michael Scott thing, the joke was kind of lost on me on that. Cause it's like, I could see that happening. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can always write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can email me your audio file if you record your story on your phone and just want to send it that way. Great way to do it if you're overseas. It's to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, we are on every social media, well, most of them anyway. Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online, find us there. Twitter, at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram, at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat, Ghost Podcast, if you want to interact with us on those accounts. That's kind of where I linger throughout the day and post weird videos about rabies. So there you go. Our first story today comes in from Chris. Chris writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Chris. I'm 24 years old, and I'm from Sutton, Massachusetts. The experience I'll share with you is what I believe to be an encounter with an entity. I'll use different names out of respect for my friends. This all happened late last year. I love Thai food. Often after work, I'd call in an order of my favorite dish and I'd drive by and pick it up. On the other side of the counter was this tall guy named Eric. He'd always throw a joke or two out there, and we'd often get caught up in conversation. One day he asked me if I wanted to hang out sometime, and I said I'd be down. We exchanged phone numbers. Later that week, we met at his apartment. That night, I met Tina, Eric's girlfriend. We all got pretty drunk and started sharing more about who we were, and we've been great friends ever since. More than once, we talk about the paranormal. Tina believes that she has something attached to her. She'd tell me about these different instances of things happening to her. I'd listen, and it was all interesting, but I thought it wasn't true. For example, she said that every time someone would present a Ouija board to her, she would fall unconscious. She also said there was another time where she went to a personal psychic reading. Almost instantly, the psychic handed Tina's money back and told her to leave. Eric, at this point, got a new job, but he needed a way to get to work and back, so he paid me to do so. He often was at his work until closing, which was around midnight. Normally, when I drove him home, he'd invite me to crash on his couch, which was an offer I couldn't refuse. Got me out of my parents' house, and I was dead tired anyway. I slept on Eric's couch almost 3 times a week, but nothing happened. I spent a lot of time at their apartment. One day, one of Tina's friends was over. His name is Tucker. Tucker claims to be sensitive and empathic. We were talking at the table, and Tina was holding a journal. The journal held all of the supernatural experiences, mainly focusing on the entity that's attached to her. I remember her describing it as a gray figure. Tucker all of a sudden said, "There it is," and pointed to the other room. The same room that the couch was that I slept on. I thought it was a bunch of baloney. I went to bed, or should I say couch, that night thinking nothing of it. I didn't feel anything dark, any dark presence. I didn't feel any heaviness in the room. I didn't feel anything. I flopped on the couch like any other night. I awoke and my heart was beating uncontrollably and I couldn't move. I'm no stranger to sleep paralysis, but never has my heart rate zoomed out of control during an episode, and never have I felt an enormous pressure on my chest. I felt like I couldn't get enough air. During all this, I didn't think it was supernatural, and I didn't see anything, but I was afraid for my life. I accepted the fact that I could possibly die in that moment. I'd never felt anything like it before. I eventually could move again. I didn't go back to sleep. I left to return to my parents' house shortly after I regained control and felt comfortable driving. It did occur to me that there was a possibility that this was supernatural later that day. I carried a I don't believe it, but I'm not going to test it policy. I had to bring Eric home from work that night too, but I declined the offer to sleep on his couch. I instead went to my parents' house, to my own bed. My room was the attic, and I shared it with my brothers at the time. We're all a year apart. My bed, however, was on the opposite side of the room of their beds. I don't recall my brothers being there that night, so I went to bed, woke up feeling the exact same thing I did the night before. The pressure on the chest, the out-of-control heart rate, the inability to move. I took comfort in the fact that I had experienced it all the night before. As until I was grabbed at the wrist by a gray, swirling figure. This gray swirling figure leaned closer until it was right in front of my face. I tried to shout for anyone that could have been in the house, but all I could get out was a whimper. I didn't go back to sleep that night either. It never happened to me again after that. What does this sound like to you guys? Can't get enough of your show. I listen to you guys while I'm working. I hand paint figurines now. No stories in the figurines, unfortunately. You two are awesome. Thank you.
I think to me it sounds like sleep paralysis mixed with a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I've heard of that combination before. Because most of the time the sleep paralysis, yeah, you're panicking, but mm-hmm. you aren't really doing anything. You can't do anything.
Sure. I think that might also depend on the individual and how prone they are to having panic attacks. Because mm-hmm. I think some people have them more readily than others. It's like the tipping point for that happening. Mm-hmm. I think varies from person to person. But the thing that ties this together is interesting is the gray thing. Mm-hmm. The gray thing that the friend described, and then having this happen, you know, in almost like, you know, sequential order of found out about it, and then this is what they're seeing and experiencing in two different places. It makes me wonder if this is, you know, sleep paralysis, but something also following him and showing him and letting him know, yes, I'm here.
Right.
It's hard to know for sure, but I think there's evidence there that points this a step beyond just sleep paralysis. What about you?
I think so, especially since Chris said that he was familiar with sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
and that this was marked as different.
Yeah, especially if you've had it before, mm-hmm. then you know what the feeling is and you can identify the two. It's, I think, a very different thing. If it's the first time you've ever experienced it, it in itself feels very odd, mm-hmm. and almost paranormal. But if you have the, you know, essentially the guide point of, you know, here's what this is, here's what that is, you can tell the difference. Thank you for sharing your story with us. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Next one comes in from Desiree. Desiree says, it starts out with Lazaro, a ghost story from Mexico. Sorry if it's too long. The story occurred in Mexico. Happens to my grandpa while he was alive. My family, particularly my aunts, have always gathered around to share strange stories from Mexico when we visit, but I rarely got to listen to these as a child. Usually my cousins and I would sneak and listen anyways. Then we felt the sting when we couldn't sleep for weeks. The following is one story I wasn't supposed to hear. This is translated from Spanish. She says, back in 1910, as a young man, my grandpa lived on a ranch about 2 hours from Mazatlan. He lived with his two younger brothers, sisters, and his father. Being about 2 hours from a major city and with no electricity to speak of there at the time, it was quiet most nights. On the land, there was a medium-sized farmhouse that was still being built and added to. It had a large living area, which is where the family mostly gathered. One extremely warm night, the family was in the living area, fanning themselves and recounting their day, as they did almost ritually. My grandma or grandpa kept hearing someone call his name. He said it was faint and far away, and no one else seemed to hear it. Lazaro? Lazaro? Still, he asked, does anyone hear that? Everyone gave him a puzzled look. He thought it was odd, but assumed he was just tired after a long day and shrugged it off as influence of Libera. But the voice persisted to the point where it sounded like it was right outside the door. Eventually, peeved enough, my rather patient grandpa got up and marched towards a window to see if he could see anyone. When he didn't see anything out of the ordinary, he turned heel and was ready to threaten whichever sibling was pulling his leg. Just as he stomped back towards the living area, he heard his name again, blaring right outside the door. Completely fed up, he grabbed a lantern, yanked the door open, and walked around to the outside of the house. A quiet, still much too hot night remained. He checked the windows and below the planks and near the stairs. Not a soul around. He was starting to think he was losing it when he heard it again. This time far away like before. His name was called. It chilled him to the bone. He knew better than to call back. After being frozen in fear for much too long, he meant to book it back to the house. Only something yanked his hair roughly and pulled him to the ground. The lantern went clattering to the floor, and that's when he heard the screaming inside. He yelled and tried to get up again, but got yanked right back down. Looking around, he had no idea what was attacking him as his adversary remained unseen. Grabbing the lantern and getting up successfully this time, he bolted to the house and ran through the back door. In the living room, his sisters, brothers, and father were huddled in the middle of the floor. All his siblings were hysterically crying and talking at once. My great-grandpa tried to comfort them, and somebody yanked my hair. He was interrupted by his father. Why would you do that? Do what? I went outside to... Why would you bang on the walls and ceilings and windows and cabinets and floors? It was like 100,000 hands banging on the outside of the house. The entire house was rumbling. I thought you would destroy it. Juanita wouldn't stop shaking. My grandpa just held the place where his scalp was now bleeding. That wasn't me. To this day, none of my aunts or uncles or cousins have any idea what all that banging they heard that night was or why it wasn't heard from the outside. And there's no explanation for the voice. If you hear a faint, distant voice calling your name in Mexico, do not call back.
I think it... Huh?
Let's say, the more you know.
The more you know. Do-do-do-do. I wonder why it was just him that could hear this voice and was the only one that was pulled out during that. I mean, I'm trying to figure out the reason that he was not inside
mm-hmm.
when this happened to all the brothers and sisters. You know, it's like this thing wanted him to come out and get him separated while that happened.
Was it just to put a seed of doubt in the people's minds on the inside that maybe it was him? Everyone can think, oh, it's paranormal. Maybe it's probably paranormal, but technically it could have been him because he was outside.
Okay. But still, there's no way one person can bang that many places at once.
No, I completely agree. But at the same point, if you're trying to find some sort of logical reason, you're going to go through everything and go, well, maybe he had some tree branches or something, you know, sure. and you're going to go to everything. But what actually occurred, you know, to try and explain that. Even if you really, you know, believe and you're really thinking this, you know, if there's a slight chance there could be a logical possibility to it, you may go there. And I wonder if having that seed of doubt or that possibility that there wasn't something dark or something odd going on there, if that allows it to stay, if that allows it to continue to be, you know?
Right.
Like maybe that's why it wanted someone pulled out to put that thought there.
Could be.
I don't know.
It's scary, but
my
odd.
Random reasoning. The lesson here: don't respond to the voices in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Now we all know.
Now we know.
Lewis writes in: Hi Tony and Jenny. My name is Lewis. I'm from a town in the UK called Stoke-on-Trent. I've just been recently started listening to the show and have been burning through all the episodes. Makes my days and work go by much quicker. And I'm intending to become an EPP member. Very shortly. That story that I'm sharing is one that happened to me about 3 years ago. I was at home with my little brother. My parents were out shopping, so I was 15 at the time. They told me to look after my little brother while they were gone. We were both watching TV in the living room when we heard footsteps coming from upstairs. Knowing that there was no one else in the house, I became suspicious and a little freaked out. Curious of the noise and trying to act brave in front of my brother, I decided that I would go upstairs to check things out. However, when he reached the stairs, I was startled by what we saw. There was an older lady standing at the top of the stairs, staring at me. At first, I was freaked out by this, but at that time, not being one to believe in the paranormal. I guess the woman must have become confused and wandered out from the care home that was just up the street from my house and had managed to get into the house, that is realizing. I spoke to the woman, asking her if she's okay and that if she needed to come downstairs so that I could take her back to the care home. However, the woman did not reply. She just started staring right at me. It felt like she was staring straight through me. Thinking she may have hearing difficulties, I decided to walk up the stairs towards her. However, as I took the first step, the woman turned and then went straight through the door to my parents' room. Being extremely freaked out by this, I grabbed my brother and dragged him outside with me. I then called my parents and told them to get home quickly. 10 minutes later, my parents arrived home. I told them what happened, and they laughed at first, saying I was imagining things. However, when they noticed the look on my face, they decided just to check it out to put my mind at rest. My father entered the house, and he walked up the stairs with me, and we went to walk into his bedroom, where I saw the woman go. As my dad touched the door handle, he noticed it was ice cold and that the door would not open. Which is very strange, as the door did not have a lock. After constantly pulling on the handle and pushing at the door, it finally gave way and the door opened. As we entered the room, we both stood silent and shocked as we saw that room was destroyed. Bed sheets were ripped, the wallpaper was hanging from the wall, and there were scratch marks on the bedroom door, and furniture was thrown all over the room. We both were completely pale at this sight. It was then that my dad noticed that the wardrobe in the corner of the room was the only piece of furniture that had not been moved. We could faintly hear the sound of a woman crying inside it. My father said that he had purchased this wardrobe just a few days ago from a local secondhand store. We decided that it would be best to destroy the wardrobe. We planned to burn it in the garden. However, when we went to lift the wardrobe, we couldn't move it. It felt like we were trying to lift a car. We then knew that the only thing we could do was to break it into pieces and hope that it would destroy whatever spirit was inside of it. Since breaking the wardrobe, there has been nothing. I haven't seen that old lady since, or ever, had a hint of paranormal in the house since. I've never believed in the paranormal up until that day. However, since having a few more experiences with the paranormal at other family homes, I've now become a strong believer in the supernatural. Sorry that the story is so long. I just needed to share it with you. I believe the old lady was a poltergeist, but I'll leave that for you both to decide. Thanks again for the brilliant podcast you've created. And if you decide to read it out on the show, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Thanks, Lewis. P.S. I believe the origin of the wardrobe prior to the secondhand store was a soup restaurant in New York City. I believe a woman named Elaine owned it for a short period of time.
Right.
Before being stolen on the streets. This is a true part of the story.
No, it's not.
Tony is not making that part up.
Tony is completely,
I assure you,
quoting Seinfeld.
No matter what he says or Jennifer says. Some of our audience got that part.
Like, yeah, maybe 25% of the audience got that.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. But yeah, so there you go. It really just said there's no PS. I added the PS to it.
No, I almost wanted to call the episode The Witch in the Wardrobe. Like the yeah. Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe.
Sure.
But anyway, I think that it's poltergeist. I think he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as why it's attached to this wardrobe, who knows?
Do you think it was removed? Was it released when the wardrobe was broken up and it went into something else? Or if somebody picks up a nice door from this wardrobe that they found in the trash, look at this. We could use this for insert project here.
That I don't know. Now, they said nothing else happened after they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at least it wasn't released into their home.
Yeah. Maybe it was just, you know, now it's a secondhand ghost somewhere else.
Right.
Although it was probably, you know, God knows, you know, how many people have experienced this thing.
And that's why they keep getting rid of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although it's interesting, it was, they were able to remove it from other homes to get it to their house at some point. It didn't have to be destroyed in other places.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it didn't want to leave that house.
It finally felt at home.
Maybe.
The ghost finally felt, this is where I want to be. And then.
And tore everything up.
It's little thing gets destroyed and now it can't tear its shit up anymore.
Yeah.
That would suck when you get home and everything's destroyed by the ghost.
My other thought is, what if it's really not an old lady?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it
sure
showing itself in that case.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something that projects itself differently to whoever it's showing itself to.
I could very well see that. I was just going to say, how do you think insurance companies react to when you say, I have to make a claim because all this stuff in my house got torn up? I think it was a ghost that came in with a wardrobe.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think that goes over when you call State Farm?
I bet that will be on a farmer's commercial before long, you know, where they have all the weird things that can happen.
That would have been a great tie into the Ghostbusters movie. There were so many commercial tie-ins with that. Mm-hmm. It would have been really interesting if there was like, you know, a Slimer or something going around ripping shit up. It's like, it's happened because we've seen it. It was the great goat, you know. You know,
and we covered it on such and such date. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, it would probably be put under... You know, you'd have to have a report of some sort of this happening. So you'd probably have to file a police report and they'd probably file it as like a break-in or something. Mm-hmm. So it's probably what it would actually end up getting filed in under any sort of insurance claim. But you could be the one that knows full well no one actually broke into your home.
Yeah.
I wonder how often that happens.
Well, I bet it happens quite a bit because they assume somebody did break in.
Sure.
And... come to find out, nobody actually did.
Because you hear those stories sometimes where it's like everything was destroyed in the house and they didn't take anything.
Yeah, they just came in and made a mess.
Even though there was stuff to take. Mm-hmm. Probably more times than not.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing the story with us. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Bunk bed bells, we talk about those a lot, and there's still ways for you to get them. Two options, and you become a yearly EPP. You sign up for that, and you can get one that way. And the instructions on how to do that are on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Or when you share our show on social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag Ghost Podcast in your post, whether it's reposting one of our posts or writing your own about the show and linking to it. Just use that hashtag, then I can find you. And we randomly pick one person each week who does that to win a bunk bed bell. So you get qualified by posting. And then if we pick you, I will get in contact with you and we will arrange how to the bell. So do that. Another way to do it is also on iTunes. If you want to leave a review of the show there, put a hashtag in it of Ghost Podcast, and I'll know that's why you're doing it. So there you go. All right, 855-853-4802, our number. Nicole writes in, hello, guys. Love y'all's show. Listen to it all the time at work. Helps me pass the time. I live in the heart of Alaska, Fairbanks, and I wrote to you before about my work, about being haunted, but I thought I'd provide you with a better detailed one. I work at a tour bus shop, and this shop is definitely haunted. I'm alone during the day, other than the occasional bus driver who walks through the shop, but you can always hear them come in because the doors are very loud. I always had the feeling that this place was haunted because I'd see figures in the mirrors of the buses, and then when I turned to look behind me, nothing. I also see movement out of the corner of my eye and hear constant scratching and the occasional meow. Weird, I know. I'll get to that. Some of my more dramatic experiences were when I was in the tool loft, and I was 100% sure nobody else was here. I heard footsteps running around. Now, even upstairs, you can hear someone come up the stairs, so I knew somebody was messing with me. The footsteps were heavy and were running through the shelves. I looked to see if anybody was there, though I was sure there wasn't. I turned to walk back to what I was doing, freaked out beyond belief, but I wanted to just think I was imagining it. As I sat back down, a voice yelled into my head, "Who are you?" It was an old man's voice, and I jumped up and looked around. Then I felt something grab my neck painfully. I was so scared that I ran out of the loft, bolting to the door behind me. I haven't returned since. Now back to the weird meows. I've always felt something rub against my elbow and knees like a cat would, and I always found that weird and thought that I was going crazy. I finally got to talk to my boss about the experiences I've had, and he did some research himself and found that a worker from the previous owners, which was back in the 70s, had a heart attack in that loft and died. I also learned about two cats that had died from propane poisoning in the shop as well, which explains the weird cat presence. I relaxed knowing that they were not demons. Still curious about the man who was so angry enough to grab me. I'll look more into it and update you guys. You guys' show is awesome and I love listening to it. I also love going into haunted places. Fairbanks is a haunted hotel I think y'all might be interested in. Maybe when I go in, I'll tell you guys about my experience. Thank y'all for reading and keep doing you, Nicole.
I think maybe the ghost in the loft was upset. Maybe he doesn't understand that he's dead, or maybe he's still trying to figure that out.
I think sometimes when you have entities that act like that, I think that's very often the case, where there's a lot of confusion going on there. Now, why is there that confusion? I don't know. That seems, you know, to me, or I think to anyone on this side of the equation, going, after about a day or so, wouldn't you kind of realize something's not quite right?
But maybe, but might take longer if you're in a loft that people rarely go to.
That, but another thing I was thinking of the other day when something like that came up, where you kind of wonder, well, how come the ghost just doesn't realize it's, you know, what's, there's something not right here? I think it might be the same principle of like when you're in a nightmare and everything's going wrong and it can go on for hours and hours and hours and you never wise up and go, hey, maybe I'm dreaming.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that they're dreaming.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. It's the not realization. A lot of times I don't realize. I mean, sometimes I do realize I'm dreaming, but I've had dreams too where shit is just going weird. I mean, completely unexplainable, not at all logical, and I still don't realize I'm dreaming. So that's exactly my point. Okay. Is when you're in that state, you seem to like be fairly conscious, you know, of your state, and that this phone doesn't seem to dial, or every time I press a digit, I pick my finger up and there's a different number beneath it than what I intended, or what have you. Just things that are completely illogical happening, and they happen for the duration of the dream. The dream can go on for hours, but something never seems to kick over and say, this must be a dream. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm wondering about things like this, where they have the ghost, if you will, that appears or seems to not realize they're dead.
Maybe they think they're dreaming.
Well, maybe not that they think they're dreaming, but it's the same principle of something's not kicking over to go, I'm dead. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm a ghost. You know, you get what I mean?
I do.
Same sort of parallel of they're realizing or they're not realizing that the same reason that we don't realize we're dreaming when that stuff is happening. And maybe that is why sometimes it takes the human intervention to recognize that and say, You're dead.
You're dead. Go to the light.
I need to help you do this. Just the same way if someone in the dream could say, you're dreaming, this is not really happening, you may go, oh, I'm dreaming. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't you come to that realization on your own? I don't know. But something seems to block that. So I wonder if that's kind of a...
Could be.
An interesting parallel.
Yeah.
It's an odd one. Mm-hmm. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go over to Leslie. Leslie says, hello, Tony and Jenny. Recently discovered your show, and I love it. I have a huge fascination with the paranormal and have always wanted to visit a real haunted location. Well, be careful what you wish for. This past October, my mother and I went on a little road trip and stayed at a hotel in Nevada. We stayed in the Lady in Red suite. Is that based on the Chris DeBerg song, or is it a ghost story?
No, it's a ghost story.
Okay. You know I'm just itching.
Don't do it. No, don't do it.
I love you.
Right.
For those not familiar with the history, here's a brief story. The hotel is said to house a ghost deemed by the lady in red. Is it DeBerg or DeBerg?
I have no idea, and I don't care.
By hotel guests who experienced her presence, legends say that the lady in red is the ghost of a prostitute who was beaten and murdered on the fifth floor of the hotel by a jealous ex-boyfriend, which is interesting because there was an unreleased verse to that song that covered that whole... It was messed up. Album cut only, not the radio edit.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill you. Just read the story.
Another widely accepted description of the events is that the lady in red has been caught cheating by her husband at the hotel after he had missed a train and then proceeded to kill her in a jealous rage. In continuance with my story, my mother and I experienced a few strange things while staying at the hotel. We arrived at the hotel in the evening. After check-in, we headed up to our room to drop off the luggage. The elevator door opened right up. We did not push the button. We were heading to the fifth floor, and the fifth floor button was already lit up inside the elevator. As soon as the door to the elevator closed, the elevator took us straight to the fifth floor. We both found it odd that we didn't have to push any buttons in the elevator. My mother and I then settled into our room, dropped off our luggage, freshened up, and headed out to dinner. When we arrived back to our room after dinner, an hour and a half later, and the candle that was sitting on one of the tables under the television was lit up. The candle's battery-operated type, and you physically have to adjust the switch on to the on and off position. My mother and I were creeped out by this. It was then time to sleep, which I was looking forward to after a long day. Well, it turns out that I could not sleep well at all. I kept getting the feeling of someone standing near my side of the bed. There were a few instances of an unusually cold feeling on my side of the bed. My mother was out like a light and said that she did not feel anything during the night. I ended up getting only 3 hours of sleep total that night. The next morning, there was not another soul downstairs in the lobby besides us and two ladies that worked there. My mother and I were standing near the bar downstairs taking pictures. Not a soul was at the bar, and one of the cash registers proceeded to open on its own. That's all we experienced during our stay at the hotel. If any other listeners out there have stayed there, I'd love to hear if they would share their experiences. Thank you if you happen to share my story on the show. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Leslie from Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's almost like the ghost was getting on the elevator with them and just going to her room.
Yeah.
And they were just going to the same room.
It's like, oh, we got another guest.
Yeah.
Let's let the party begin.
Yeah, I think there's more to it than just weirdness going on. And I'm assuming that that's one of those candles that didn't have the automatic timer that could freak you out.
That's an interesting thought.
Because, like, I have those battery candles all over the house, but mm-hmm. they all have timers on them. So they come on and go off like a ghost is going around and lighting and, you know, blowing out my candles.
It is kind of fun to watch them turn on and turn off because they, for like the first couple of days, they go in order. The timer is pretty steady with uh-huh. it, you know. It's like, this one goes on, that one goes on. And you can just see the order in which you turned them on.
Right.
After a couple of days, you know, their timer's slightly out of sync, so it gets more random. And it's like, this one, over there, now here. And then, you know, so it's a little more creepy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I that could be a possible explanation for it. But if some of them just are on and off,
yeah.
you know, and there's no timer to it. How upset do you think ghosts are about the whole candles that are fake now, and they're not able to light the flames and burn down buildings?
Probably not that much because they can obviously manipulate these.
Mm-hmm. Flip the switch. I'm just wondering about, you know, the more ornery ghosts that enjoy causing fires.
Oh, there's other ways for them to do that.
That's true. They're having to get a little more creative, I guess, with their what word am I looking for? The arsonist ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we had any stories where they blatantly think the ghost caused the fire?
Not actually caused the fire, but tried to cause a fire.
Okay.
We had one where there was a stove that kept being turned on.
Yeah, yeah. That's creepy.
A gas stove. So.
Because that could go either way. That could just gas you.
Or
blow you up. Yeah. Yeah. One of the two. Or both. Mm-hmm. Really. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jared writes in, "Hey guys, big fan of the show, been listening for a couple of months now, and finally figured I'd share my story. But 6 years ago, I was a junior in high school. At the time, our home was being renovated, and the whole second floor had been knocked down for remodeling. With four children in the house and limited space, living quarters became tight for a little bit. This caused my younger brother, who was about six at the time, to have to move his bed into my parents' room. When they moved him into the room, my aunt had offered him a spare dresser. The dresser was found in the garage of my aunt's home when they moved in some 20 years ago. They never had any use for it, so when my younger brother needed one, they offered up the extra. The room was set up so my parents' bed was to the right of my brother's bed, and the dresser was a few feet away from him on the left. Once the dresser got into the house is when things got weird. My little brother started getting night terrors. My sister was claiming she was hearing someone walking around when the house was asleep, and the cat would no longer go into the bedroom. One day after school, I got home before my parents and decided to check the answering machine, mostly to check if any of the teachers called so I could delete any messages before my parents got them. You know, the normal teenager stuff. The machine was in my parents' room, so I sat down on my brother's bed and played the messages while our pug Rocky curled up next to me. No messages from my teachers, so I was about to leave when suddenly I heard a whisper right behind me. But this wasn't the normal whisper. What I heard was, without a doubt, not English. It sounded like a series of hard S's and C's. At that very moment I heard it, our pug jumped to his feet, started growling and barking at the dresser as if it was threatening him, which for him, an overweight pug with asthma, was extremely out of character. Needless to say, this scared the hell out of me. I grabbed the dog and ran out of the bedroom. The best I can describe the whisper is, if you're familiar with Harry Potter, it sounded like one of the languages spoke on there when they communicated with snakes. Looking back on it, I'm positive. You're laughing at me because I'm not even going to attempt
to say.
You just
dance all the way around
I
that
dance
word.
Around that shit all the time.
I know.
I see words on here. I'm like, I can't say that. I'm just going to keep moving. And just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Don't have to say the words. Can't say.
Okay.
Looking back on it, I am positive whatever it whispered was not English. And whatever I heard, the dog heard it too. Shortly after, we ended up having the house saged. And after that, there were no more incidents. Thanks for letting me share my story, guys. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Gotta love how ghosts just like to take a remodel and make it that much more difficult.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And they hate that. They hate the remodeling stuff anyway.
Paranormal Remodel, new on HGTV.
Yeah, that would be a good show.
That would be a good show, but the thing is, there's no way. You'd have to stage a shitload of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to get enough material. I mean, if you sat there and produced the thing for 10 years, you might get about four episodes mm-hmm. that are worthy. But in order to create 12 episodes a year or a season, it would be so staged. It would be like all the other super staged shows. But the concept is great. Mm-hmm. If I mean, unless you did like just homes that you know are so crazily haunted, mm-hmm. which I don't know you could come up with that many. Every year, you just keep going back to like the crazily haunted homes. We're going to redo this one this year, this style. And this gets worse and worse and worse. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our number. Casey writes in, love the show. After listening to one of the stories, I wanted to share my story. My wife and I purchased a fiber optic Christmas tree for our first family tree a couple of years after the power converter that plugs into the wall broke. My father-in-law made it his personal mission to find this converter because it was discontinued and not made anymore. After months of searching, he found one, and the tree was working again. Fast forward 5 years, and my father-in-law has passed away, and our family was devastated. We decided to get a real tree upstairs, so I set our fake tree as a secondary Christmas tree in the TV room. I pulled out the tree to find the cord was cut in half. I was so upset I tossed the converter that was cut in two pieces behind the tree and said a few bad words. I tried to find the cord with no luck. We didn't do anything with it all season, and come January, my wife and I decided to toss the tree out. So I picked it up, the cord fell out of the tree, in one piece, fixed as if nothing had happened at all. My wife and I just looked at each other and didn't say a word. I believe it was my father-in-law fixing the tree for me one last time. We still use our miracle tree to this day. What do you guys think?
I think there's something about fixing that tree that's the only way he could have done something and you knew who it was.
Something like unique enough to go, this is him?
Yeah.
I agree. I to have that, to go from broken and we're going to get rid of this to, oh my God, what the...
And we're never going to get rid of it ever kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you for the story. And yes, I do think that was probably him. Ben writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Ben. Love the show. I have not yet become an EPP, but I'm planning to. So I have two stories to share, one of them involving a friend whose actual name I won't say for privacy reasons, but for all intents and purposes, I'll refer to him as Dave. So one night, about 6 years ago, I was staying overnight at Dave's house for his birthday. It was about midnight, 1 a.m., and we'd been playing video games since about 5 p.m. the previous day. So as you can imagine, our eyes were extremely sore and we were extremely tired. We were lying in his bed, and he has one of those loft beds in a large closet. And from our vantage point, we could see the opening to his attic, which was in the hall outside his door. There we were, lying in bed preparing to fall asleep, and we heard a scraping noise. We both turned around and listened for about 30 seconds to a minute. Then we heard it again. Was a faint little scraping noise, barely audible, but loud enough to be noticed by both of us and his small Yorkie. Sorry, I forgot to mention this before, but his dog is super warm, so we sleep with him in the foot of the bed to keep our feet warm. The dog's ears perked up to almost needle point, and both Dave and I were staring out into the hallway to see if it would happen the third time. It happened again, but this time it was loud. It sounded almost like moving lawn furniture around. Then we heard a loud bang and saw the cover to the attic fall to the floor. Before one of us could even blink, his dog bolted out of the room, and I flew out under the covers and flipped the lights on in the hallway to his bedroom, and he was looking for his two dual pellet pistols and handed me one, and we peeked out into the hall and looked up into the attic. Admittedly, the pellet guns probably wouldn't have done anything against something paranormal, but they did bring us some clarity and confidence. So we went outside to grab a ladder, and I stayed watching the hole to see if there was a raccoon or something in the attic. After about 5 minutes, Dave came back with a small painter's ladder to get into the attic. So we both bravely and stupidly ventured into the attic, peeked our heads over the ledge, and saw nothing. But when we had both climbed down the ladder and turned around to walk back into his room, we both saw a floating shadow or cloud thing in the corner of his room. It was only there for a split second, too short for either of us to discern any specific details, but we both definitely saw something. Sorry for the long story. Feel free to only read one of the other stories if you want. My next story is shorter, which with a very little detail because it was too dark to see anything. The house in this story was built in about 1958, so there isn't an incredible amount of history, but there is some. This all happened about 4 to 5 years ago when I was in my bedroom getting ready for bed. It was about 11 p.m., and I just finished watching a movie with my then-girlfriend, and her parents had come and picked up her, and I was done cleaning up because we had made a mess. So after that, I'd gone to bed, woken up at about 3 or 3:30 because I was extremely thirsty, and I heard a noise. So I turned on my lamp so I could see where I was going without breaking something, and suddenly I heard some heavy footsteps, like when you wear really heavy cowboy boots and walk on older hardwood floors. It sounded like that. I knew my dad had a pair of boots that sounded like that for a second. I thought it was him walking around. Then I soon thought to myself, why would he be walking around the house in cowboy boots at this hour? Started to panic. Went on for about 2 minutes, the footsteps moving from the dining room to the man cave, then in front of my bedroom door, which is wide open, and then moved back to my bathroom, then stopped altogether. I have no idea what it was, and I don't have any assumptions as to what it could have been, even to this day. Apparently, it was the only one I was the only one who heard it too, because when I asked my parents if they had heard anything that night, they said they hadn't heard a thing. Thanks for reading this. Doesn't make it into the show. It isn't a big deal. Just happy that I could bring it up and tell someone. Keep up good work. Seriously, your show made me certain that I'm not completely crazy. I have more stories, but I'll save them for another time.
That sound of boots and nobody there. We've had other stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
With just the phantom person walking around. All you do is hear the boots. And I don't know why that happens for some ghosts and not others.
Is the boots just kind of more of a distinguishing feature of an earlier time when that was more common practice of everyone wearing boots?
I don't think so, because I think you have ghosts from that time or earlier that make no sound at all.
Sure.
It's like, why, you know, maybe that is more of a residual thing, but if it doesn't happen more than once, mm-hmm. then it's hard to know if that's truly a residual haunting.
That's true. Haunted shiplap.
Maybe.
I bet there's a lot of that. I bet there's a lot of homes that are becoming haunted because they're getting a lot of the reclaim stuff right now, which I love and you love, and it's neat and it's cool, and I think it's really great that people are able to take things out of older homes or barns or whatever you're getting and repurpose it. I think that's awesome. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I wonder how much, you know, you're taking pieces from homes.
I am more concerned with that stuff of not the paranormal aspect, but more the creepy crawly aspect. Because
like bugs? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Oh,
because
sure.
If you don't have a way to treat it.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those issues
then
going on.
You could be bringing termites and who knows what else.
Yeah. I mean, when you get that stuff, you need to know what you're doing. You can't just like rip it off the barn and let's coat a wall with it.
Right.
You know, it'll look good if it's like in semi, you know, hangable condition. But yeah, I mean, I don't know the method to do it. But I know there are methods to do it where you have to, you know, dry it, let it mm-hmm. get, you know, bug free. You can call the Orchid Man and like, hey, I have all this wood. Can you clean it up for me?
Yeah.
I don't know if that work, or I think it's a more invasive, long term, dry it out.
You have to
cook
have somebody who knows what they're doing do it for you, or show you how to do it.
That's a case technically where you're more afraid of the living, bugs, than the dead.
I am.
I can see that, because you're likely to get more. You also get the double bonus where you get both
haunted
bugs and
termites.
Ghosts, termites. Mm-hmm. Now that would be, that's one for the HGTV paranormal renovation show, mm-hmm. where there's all this termite damage, but there's no evidence of termites. We can't find their bodies. We can't find termites anywhere.
Termite damage is the evidence of termites.
No, but I mean like the actual. Like any termites in general, like the actual termites.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean they weren't there.
Like last night, these were completely intact boards, and now they're all chewed down. But there's no termites anywhere. That's where the ghost termites come in.
Okay.
Ghost termites. Great. Jillian writes, and along with the whispers, there was once an apparition I noticed in the locker room. Lots of things were heard from the locker room. Some girls claim that when they pressed their ears against the doors in the locker room that led out to the pool, they would hear little kids' feet pitter-pattering around. I witnessed that, too. Lots of girls knew how I was sensitive to such things and would ask me if I could experience it, too. I almost always did, if not experience it stronger than them. At the school, there would be an annual cultural event party taking place in the gym. I went with my mom while my sister and father were out somewhere. Can't remember what they were doing that day, but I was bored and my mom didn't want me to spend a lonely weekend without my older sister. So my only sister and I desperately wanted to be closer to her, so my mom took me out with her to the event. Lots of other kids were there too. I was one of the oldest there, but me and about four other kids decided to go into the hallway and play a game. I think we were going to play hide and seek because most of the lights were out in the school. Sounds like a little kid's dream, right? Wrong. We all gathered by the locker room where I would make everyone put a foot in the door. Bubble gum, which is a process of elimination game, when something just told me to look up. This was after the whispers, and when I looked up, I was greeted with a small girl peering down at us that I had never seen before. She had chlorine green hair and had on a pale, outdated, and damaged pink one-piece bathing suit. Her hair, from what I can remember, was in two pigtails. Her skin was too dingy for an...
Dingy.
Dingy. There we go. Dingy for an approximately 7-year-old girl. Now, keep in mind that the door to the locker room, not the one that connects the bathroom to the locker room, but the one that opens it up from the outside of the room, is super loud. You can hear it, the gears clanking and grinding on each other. The classic cartoon noise. Even when you're being quiet, the door will echo through the hall. We hear nothing. I locked eyes with the girl, and her face had a mischievous smirk on it, like she had something planned. Something not too good. I turned away for a half a second to look at the others. My one friend, Jake, had a face of terror and confusion. He'd seen it too. I darted my eyes back, and the girl was gone. We would have heard the door shut. All five of us went into the locker room, even Jake, to see if we could find the girl. We pulled back every shower curtain and opened all the lockers for good measure. We went into the pool and only saw a few senior citizens having a water aerobics lesson. The girl was practically non-existent. With dread, I even checked the bathroom. The girl was never seen again. I call her Maybelle, because for some reason, when I was younger, that name got stuck in my head and stuck with the vision I'd seen. I have plenty of other stories to tell you guys, so I'm going to try to type them up for a more dramatic and professional way, as writing is what I do. Thanks for reading. Love your podcast, and take care.
That's just gross. Just dead, drowned people, ghosts, or just, I don't know.
Dead, drowned people, ghosts, or just, I don't know.
They are. I don't know. I.
It's sad.
It is sad. It's very sad, but it's kind of scary.
It's more scary. It's very scary when they come back looking like what they look like at the point of death.
Yeah.
Which, when that happens, I often wonder, is that really that person? Is that really that ghost that's showing up? Or is it something taking that form because they know that the living are aware of this story, mm-hmm. and that will just kind of lead to, you know, fear and confusion and
the
whatnot.
The assumption of who it is.
Yeah.
Or what it is.
Because so many times we hear stories of someone coming back that was the victim of something, and they don't look like the murder scene or the death scene. Mm-hmm. They look like they did in life. So that's where I have to wonder sometimes when it's really grotesque and scary. Is that really them?
Yeah.
It's hard to know for sure, but I have my doubts that was truly the girl. Was it something? Sure, but was it that person? I don't know. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. We had a pool in our grade school, too.
Yeah.
It was the tiniest swimming pool in the world. I don't even know why they had it in there. It's not there anymore. They got rid of it, I think, a couple years after I was there. But it was kind of funny because I remember my first year going there, and I only went there for 1 year because I'd switched schools. So I only went there for sixth grade. And there was like, oh, there's a swimming pool. It was the only elementary school in our city that had a swimming pool at it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, great. I can't wait. That's exciting and awesome. I swear to you, this swimming pool, it seemed tiny when I was a kid. You know, when you're a kid, everything seems big.
Sure.
It seems small then. It seemed even smaller when I got older and I went into the school for something. And I'm like, oh my God, that is the pool. Mm-hmm. I thought it was small when I was, it was literally, you know, I'd say a quarter of the size of this room. It was a glorified hot tub.
What was the point of it?
They kind of did, like in our gym class, one of the semesters or lessons or whatever that lasted, I don't know, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks, was swimming. But you couldn't fit everyone in the pool. You know, the class of 25 kids could not all fit into this pool at one time. So it was more so like, okay, two of you or three of you get in, you know, at the end, and then you swim to the other side and then get out. And swimming to the other side, you know, was like three strokes because it was.
That's a good way to make sure some kids aren't going to drown, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. or like, what's the point at that point?
It's no
like,
kidding.
You're not really teaching much because you can't really learn much.
Anybody can flail enough to get from one side to the other of that.
Yeah, I just remember like how weird it was.
Ugh.
Just how weird and tiny of a pool that was. So I don't know. I don't know if that was a thing back in those days because this school was probably built in probably the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if like putting tiny pools in elementary schools was a thing. I never saw one anywhere else ever in my life. It was more so like mainly high schools. Uh-huh. Sometimes junior highs would have something, but the only other school that had it was the high school. But it was just bizarre. It's a bizarre tiny pool.
I don't know why, but I always, whenever I'm at a pool that's not a pool that I usually go to,
uh-huh.
I always wonder if somebody's drowned in this pool. That's a thought I legitimately have every time I go swimming at a pool that I'm not used to.
I always wonder when I look at the pool and I see like a dark spot. Is that poop?
Oh.
That's what I go to. Okay. And it's usually just like chipped up cement or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've ever actually encountered poop in my swimming years. Have you ever encountered poop while in a pool?
No.
Poop in a pool?
I haven't.
Or a candy bar or anything like...
No. Now, Olivia, when she was little, she thought that when you yell cannonball and jump into a pool, she didn't realize everybody was yelling cannonball. She would yell candy bar.
Yeah. Yep.
And freak everybody out.
I remember that.
And I told her, I said, it's not candy bar, it's cannonball. No, it's not, it's candy bar. So she's still... I
think to this day she still says
she
candy
still
bar.
She jumps in and yells candy bar.
And the things when you have a little kid yelling candy bar, the adult's thinking, oh God, this little kid saw poop and they're thinking it's a candy bar.
Yeah.
So regardless, right. Any adult is thinking poop.
There's no good outcome.
You can't
to
win.
That.
No, not at all. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, 120 some of those out there for you, exclusive video content, and a lot more at ghostpodcast.com. That is what keeps this thing on the air. Without your support, this will not exist. So $5 a month is all we ask. You really want to be super supportive, sign up for a full year. We'll give you one of those months absolutely free, and you'll get a bunk bed bell. So there you go. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.